Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and where have we been today? Through the Mideast, coming to Midtown for the UN, the mayor versus the Bronx DA on stop and frisk arrests, the national debt, and Governor Cuomo endorsing a Republican, sort of. You need a break. So for the end of the show today, autographs and other sports collectibles. I know a few people who are really into this, a couple of teenagers and a grown-up. In particular, they especially crave baseball and basketball player autographs, and I've got to hear from them something about this little subculture. So I noticed when this new autobiography came in by the king of the collectibles business, especially here in New York, Brandon Steiner. And this is a real New York story. He writes about growing up with his mom in the 50s and 60s in Brooklyn, getting into the restaurant business, creating, in effect, the first modern sports bar in Tribeca in the 80s, and eventually, almost by accident, realizing he had all these collectibles that people would pay money for. He even bought the ultimate collectible himself, the old Yankee Stadium itself, when it closed in 2008. So let's meet Brandon Steiner, founder of Steiner Sports Marketing, an author of the new book titled, with the advice his mother used to give him, You Gotta Have Balls. Mr. Steiner, thanks a lot for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Well, thank you. Pleasure to be here today. It's a little nasty and rainy out there, but as I say, New York has been very, very good to me. I love New York, and I live and breathe. Although, you know, our company's national and international now, but I love New York, and New York has been really good to me.
And, of course, your mother meant baseballs and basketballs and footballs with that advice, right?
Well, what she meant was, and, you know, growing up in Brooklyn, and I don't think she ever thought I was going to have a multi-million-dollar, 50,000-square-foot corporate office. But she, having balls was about being fearless, was about doing things the right way and not being afraid to go a little crazy, go a little extravagant, be a little uncalculated. And when she saw things that were stale and people that were a little boring, she would give you the elbow right to the shoulder. Got to have balls. Come on. Look at that.
Hence the book title. Yeah. So listeners, call up and talk about autographs. Do you collect autographs? If so, what's the allure? And what's your best autograph story? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. By the way, where in Brooklyn did you grow up?
Grew up in Kings Highway and Ocean Parkway. A very unusual neighborhood. Still is to this day.
Unusual neighborhood for a Yankee fan.
Well, you know, we got on the F train. You know, we hiked all the way down, and, you know, that was quite a hike. We hit 20 games, always a doubleheader on a Sunday. And, you know, obviously that's where I got my first autograph. Now, you know, we do a lot of stuff with a lot of players, but never my wildest imagination. After going to a game, some friends of mine, I don't forget this, older kids. You know, it's nothing like the older kids take you to a game with you. They're 5 years older. We go to the stadium. They got seats four rows over the on-deck circle. And sure enough, I met Tom Tresh, Joe Pepitone, gave my first autographs. $4 for that ticket. My mother, I went home. She said, where's my change? She was mad at me. She said, I can't believe you'd spend $4 on a ticket.
Let me jump all the way to after you started the sports bar. You knew all these athletes. You started your marketing company where you matched athletes and businesses for appearances to draw a crowd, things like that. And then in 1993, you realized you had built up a tremendous inventory of collectibles. What kind of stuff did you realize you had laying around?
Insane. I mean, I never realized, you know, even the Babe Ruth stuff, even at that point, hadn't really kicked in. But I had, you know, I was doing all these appearances when I was with the guys. I was a huge magazine and newspaper collector. So when I was with them, I'd always have them sign all these odd things. I was always clipping photos out of Sports Illustrated and Life magazines. And I probably had, you know, hundreds of baseballs and photos and Sports Illustrated. And just, I'm one of those quirky collectors. So I'd go to these flea markets and trade shows, and I'd find all these old things that players endorsed, old ads, magazines, or even products, and have them sign that stuff. And then what I would do is when I go on a corporate meeting and I find out that a corporate VP was into a certain player, I'd bring him one of these special items and gifts. So I remember coming home and asking my wife, I said, you know, I think I'm going to take $10,000 out and start this Steiner collectible thing. She says, you sure? I said, yeah, it's got a feeling like corporate people really like these collectibles. I never thought the average fan was going to buy Steiner collectibles.
And you describe your big break as getting Derek Jeter and Mariano Rivera to sign with you in 1999. Why would athletes already making millions and millions of dollars a year at the top of Major League Baseball get involved with an autograph contract?
Well, first, the real big break was Messier which, you know, you go back to 94, it was almost like the Red Sox when they broke the curse, you know, the Rangers breaking the curse. And that's a good question, too. It's like, why would even Messier sign? And then I signed Rizzuto up for about 7 years. He was getting the Hall of Fame. But I think you probably have to ask the athletes why. But my vision of why the guy signed with me, and I've been with Derek now 16 years. Mm. What a blessing. Mm. Mariano Rivera, 15 years. I mean, what a blessing. Those guys are the best. And I think it's really about what I do for them besides the autographs. I think they know people want this stuff, so they've kind of got to do something. But I think a lot of it is about Turn 2 with Derek and doing the good work and good charity work that he does with this Turn 2. Mariano has his foundation. And with a lot of the bigger name players that I deal with, whether it be Eli Manning or Messier, a lot of it has to do with this off-the-field stuff that I'm able to help them with charity-wise. And then, you know, as part of the give and take back, yeah, we do some marketing stuff with them, but, you know, it's doing those silent auctions for the golf tournament and helping with corporate gifts to people that donate a lot of money. I think that's probably the give and take.
Josh in Washington Heights, you got an autograph story? Josh, let's see. I might have to click this over there. Josh, do we have you? All right, we'll get back to Josh. Let's fix that phone board so we get him on the right phone bank. Sorry, I think that was my error. Let me try that again. Josh, you there? Josh?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, hi. Sorry.
It's not strictly an autograph story, and it's probably the smallest collectible collection that you will hear about today. But I have a U.S. government selective service card in the name of Sandy Koufax.
Huh.
And that is because I moved into a house that he lived in when he played for the Brooklyn Dodgers. And 10 years later, in the middle of the Vietnam War, he turned age 35, which was over the age limit for active duty, and his reclassification card was sent to the wrong address, even though
his old address.
Even
Josh,
though
I'm gonna leave it there. So that's how you got the selective service card for Sandy Koufax. That's a heck of a
like
story.
I like that. And you know, Sandy's an unusual collectible, being one of the great left-handers, if not the greatest left-hander of all time. And also one of the few great Jewish ball players as well. Having had him for several years and done a lot of collectibles with him, he doesn't sign a lot of autographs and is very underneath the radar. That's one of those unusual items that's worth keeping. I'd make sure I put that in a protective case so it's nice and protected. Without having seen it and the condition it's in, I mean, definitely worth a few $100. It could be even worth up to $1,000 to a big Sandy Koufax fan. And I think the time to sell something like that is now or in the next few years, because your baby boomers are loving Sandy Koufax. And as the baby boomers start getting older and less, other players come into the mix. But right now, vintage, Mantle, Koufax, you know, Billy Mays, Hank Aaron, are at all-time highs now in the collectible business, because that's who the baby boomers loved. And there's a little mistrust. You know, right now with current players, people are a little confused about where these players measure up. So the deep collecting of those players isn't really
that's interesting
at an all-time high.
And what about for the current players? Let's say an autographed baseball or an autographed Sports Illustrated cover for a Mariano Rivera or a Derek Jeter.
I mean, I love collecting Mariano, especially his career. And Jeter, really, you know, their careers are winding down. It's hard to say how many more years. But, you know, you get I collect Derek Jeter all day with money. I hate to say this, but even with money that maybe I would think about sending my kid to school with, that's how I love the value and what all that represents. There's not a lot of players you could honestly say that with, but, you know, a Derek Jeter signed ball sells for $500 or $600.
Really, that much?
And, you know, Mariano ball sells for between $300 and $350. Mariano's got that perfect, as perfect as he is when he pitches. That's how perfect his autograph is. If you go on SteinerSports.com on the website, you can see his autograph, even on the pictures of his stuff. Every autograph, perfect.
And that's a dynamic here, right? Because the people I know who are into this say, oh, this guy gave me a great autograph, or this guy gave me a crap autograph with just an initial.
Well, the real game changer for Steiner was I'm sitting on the bed with my son, Crosby, and I was never a big book reader, even though, you know, I wrote my second book here. And I'm telling him a story. I'm always making up stories. Never read the story. And I was telling this story about why the Mark Messier photo was one of the most important photos to me. And it occurred
with the 1994 Stanley Cup.
So I'm realizing after about 2 minutes he's dead asleep. And I said, I love this story. I didn't realize how important this photo was to me. And that's how I came up with Remember the Moment. And at the end of the day, and maybe the people out there listening can comment, but after your wife, marrying your wife or husband, and the birth of your kids, there's usually a sports moment in your Fab Five. And I went after every moment in sports that I could think of in the mid-90s. And that's how we really kicked off Steiner Sports Marketing, with all these great moments. Kirk Gibson, Mookie Buckner, you know, Willie Mays' famous catch.
Write in the book about Reggie Jackson's three-home-run World Series game. And so you get them to write right on the ball.
And write on there the inscription, four home runs in the game, or, you know, the catch, or, you know, Stanley Cup champs.
And that increases the value.
It increases the value and also substantiates the moment, which is not about what it's worth, but how it makes you feel. And that's what collecting is about, how it makes you feel. This stuff makes you feel good.
Hank in Fort Lee, you're on WNYC. Hi, Hank.
Hey, little Walt Frazier story. I grew up going to games at Madison Square Garden, but it was always too late to go around and hang out and wait for him to come out to his car, which was always parked. I think it was like 33rd Street or 32nd Street, where he would park his Rolls Royce, two-tone Rolls Royce. It was a beautiful car with a drop back. And I just loved Clyde. He had so much style. I wore his sneakers and everything. But I never had his autograph. And then years later, as an adult, I'm driving down 2nd Avenue, and I see him come out of a dry cleaner with a huge load of dry cleaning on his shoulder. And he goes to his car. I pull over behind a big Mercedes truck, which is unloading there. I run back. He was so gracious and kind. I shook his hand. He was like the most gentlemanly individual. I felt like I was in the presence of royalty when I got Clyde's autograph, and I'll never forget that moment, or that handshake, or the honking and the traffic.
Thank you very much. And so I think Hank's story illuminates that it's not the signature, it's the moment, it's the experience.
And the feeling you get from that product, or whatever it is you got autographed, that experience. Now, Clyde, my idol growing up, the one of my biggest inspirations of starting when I started working when I was 10. By the way, that car, you'll love this book, because it's first of all, Clyde had balls. I mean, you know, he was the guy who dressed, the mirrors on the ceiling, the way he dressed, the rolls, the whole thing. I mean, think about it. He separated himself, a small kid from Atlanta.
This guy I know who collects, he doesn't sell, he just collects. But, you know, he's a grown-up, he's a regular guy with a regular job, and this is his hobby. He's into Sports Illustrated covers, and he seems to have every Sports Illustrated cover ever. And whenever an athlete is in town who he has a cover photo for, he'll go wait outside Madison Square Garden or outside Letterman or whatever that athlete is going to and try to get his autograph as he passes by. For you, it's a business. Do you understand it as a hobby?
Yes. I understand it as a love, and I support the hobby. I support that guy who doesn't have to come to me, but if I could help him with signs I'm doing with players to get some of those Sports Illustrateds that he may never come in contact with, use a company like Steiner Sports. But I love the hobby. There's nothing better than going to see a player and getting something autographed yourself somehow, whether it be in a restaurant or an airport. God bless you. Go for it.
How do the players feel about this? You quote Joe Namath in the book saying the two hardest things in life are walking into a room and everyone wanting your autograph, or walking into a room and no one wanting your autograph. Ha ha. But what's the first one like for the athletes, especially when you're really big and you're approached wherever you go?
I think it's exciting at the beginning. I mean, I think players are taken aback, and I think they enjoy it. And then it really starts to wear on you, especially if you have a bigger name and you really can't go anywhere and your autograph is worth a lot of money. It really can wear on you. And then all of a sudden, it's almost impedes you from living a normal life, which the life is normal to begin with. Now you're living in a doubly abnormal life. And I think players learned how to go. Man, you can't even walk into a hotel lobby. You can't walk into a typical restaurant. It's always a side back door. So it's a lot of pressure on them. But I think players want to sign autographs for their true fans, but it's a little confusing these days, so they'll avoid it when they can.
When athletes sign with you, does that prevent them from signing for kids because they have an exclusive?
When it's convenient, they'll use that as an excuse. But generally, I mean, you know, the bigger name athletes, and remember, a lot of these kids are hired by runners and people, so you don't even know if you're really signing for the kid. But, you know, Steiner Sports never precludes a player from signing for a kid or signing for, you know, for a charity request or that kind of thing. But a lot of players, when they're not feeling comfortable, they'll throw that Steiner name out there, like, throw me under the bus in a minute. He's like, I can't do that with Steiner. I said, Derek, you said that to the owner of the Yankees? You told Mr. Steinbrenner you couldn't sign? I remember back in the 90s, he said, well, they were asking me to sign a lot of balls. I said, I'm with Steiner. I said, I don't think they're going to be too happy with me.
We have 30 seconds left. You bought the ultimate collectible, Yankee Stadium itself.
Now, if you're interested in how the Yankee Stadium, one of the greatest stadiums on the planet, got dissolved.
The old stadium, of course.
Who got that Yankee Stadium? Who bought all the pieces? Where it all went? That's what you got to have balls about. The book.
And
I
what
have
do you do? You
chapter.
Sell. You sell every chair. You sell every.
Well,
ounce
my
of
vision
dirt.
Was the obvious, but listen, we've sold over $20 million of dirt, almost $1 million of grass, the legal kind. You know, I mean, we freeze dried all the grass, the last field of Yankee Stadium. So, I mean, there's a lot of detail in the book about, you know, how we went about that. And there's hundreds of thousands of pieces that we sold. Never done with a stadium before, by the way.
I love your story, by the way, which we don't have time for, of getting to realize how people would buy dirt, which
we
got to
save that for
first.
Another call. We got to do that another time, how we sold all the dirt.
Brandon Steiner, founder of Steiner Sports Marketing. His new autobiography is called You Gotta Have Balls, How a Kid from Brooklyn Started from Scratch, Bought Yankee Stadium, and Created a Sports Empire. Thanks a lot. This was fun.
It was a pleasure.